Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Not a sermon today, but just kind of a year-end lesson, I guess I would say, for today. A little shorter time with the extras that we had and have. Tomorrow's chapel, of course, is at the Pavilion. Look forward to seeing everybody there. Gone through great pains to get our guest speaker here. Maybe we'll share a little bit of the details of that tomorrow. High school seniors, looking forward to seeing you there too. Everybody's looking forward to casual dress chapel. So there's a lot of good things here coming up. 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14, and then just share a little lesson here with you. We'll pray and go over the announcements and be done today. Verse 13, 2 Timothy 1, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, the good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this week, for each student here. We're asking, God, that you would bless and work in all the activities of this week. There's a lot of important tests and finals that are ahead. And, Lord, there's many people traveling even now to get here for a very special week, especially for our graduates, Lord, as it's a culmination of many years of labor, not just on their part, but numerous people, very many people were involved in the lives of each of our graduates, Lord, and it's a time of great joy. Lord, it's, as we often say, it's not the end. It's, in a sense, it is, but in another sense, it's really the beginning. It's the beginning of a new time in life, and again, new opportunities, new challenges, Lord, but all can be met with your strength and your power. And do ask, God, that you would make this a special week for each of our graduates, high school and college. And Lord, as all of us prepare to go various ways this summer, a lot of different things happening, a lot of different places that students will be at. Overall, Lord, I just pray that what we've learned through you that we would keep, as our verse here says. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so I call this Lessons I've Learned Over 28 Summers. So this is the 28th summer. This is the 28th time that I have faced a summer after a year at Fairhaven Baptist College. First four of them, I was like you as a student. And the last 24, we've done a send-off to college students going all over the place. So through those years, I wrote down some things that I have learned, and I really hope that they are a help for you as you look ahead to the summer. We've got a list of them. First thing is this. First thing we want to learn and remember is that at the end of the summer, I will be looking back on it. And we're going to end with that point too. Whatever happens this summer, for good or for bad, we're going to look back on it. We'll look back on it spiritually satisfied, or we'll look back on the summer with some guilt and shame. And the difference between those two is how we decide to use those days, those hours, those minutes of our summer, if we're trying to be open and accountable, or if we're trying to sneak and trying to live for the flesh or live for the spirit. We're all going to look back. Just like right now, we're looking back on the spring semester, and we're going to live with those memories for good or for bad. We're going to know that we did what was right, or we're going to know, I kind of cut a corner there. And the teacher didn't catch me, but, you know, if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we know the Lord saw and will see. And so as we look to the summer, we want to look back on this summer, not with sorrow, but with joy. And so we can all do that. We're going to all look back on this summer, whether spiritually satisfied or whether looking back on some things we're ashamed of or guilty of. And sometimes it's just lost opportunities. In other words, the gift of time just kind of got squandered. Not much to show for it. Number two, be an influence this summer. Be an influence. Find a church teen in your church and influence them. I have a great memory of a guy who's just finished up his senior year, went back home, and I needed a bus visiting partner, and we had a great time. Visited on Saturday, visited during the week, made close friends. So he's a teen, and I was a college kid, but be an influence. There's any number of people that you can influence, or not, but you can influence. You can make a difference in a kid from the ministry. A kid in the ministry that's, you know, they come to church Sunday morning, see if they can come Sunday night. And then after Sunday night church, take them to Dairy Queen. They'll never forget that. Take someone Saturday. Go whatever they like to do. Go fishing. Go shooting baskets. Throw the football with them for just to make a difference. Find a kid from church that you can bring under your wing. Find a kid from the ministry. We had a good time. Man, I grew up in West Virginia. Delbert was the kid the Lord laid on my heart. The people still named kids Delbert. Well, you know, just saying. Sarah, get used to it. Going to be a mountaineer here soon herself. Delbert, man, he was a faithful kid. And we went to McDonald's. He stayed over. One of the people that was one of the bus workers was getting married. She said, can you go pick up Delbert and his brother and sister and bring him to the wedding? I brought him to the wedding. And there they sat, these bus kids in a church wedding, seeing two people get married God's way. It was a big thing. So your church, whatever you're going to be at, has numbers of kids like that. Don't pass them by. Just say, Lord, who can I zero in on? Maybe I can't be personal with all of them, but what can I do? And you will not regret that. Plead with God with influence to use you to see some souls saved this summer. Don't pray in faith, and then go out in faith, and witness in faith, and trust God. And he can use you to see someone saved. You look back on the summer like that, you will never regret that. That will be a summer you'll be able to look back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me the boldness that I needed to see that person in their eternal state. And you gave me the words to say, and you put their soul on my heart, and thank you that I was able to see them saved. So pray that the Lord will do that. So influence. Number three, no matter if the day is highly scheduled or if it's an open season day, which we all look forward to those days, right? Well, there's just really no schedule because all that our life has been the last 5 months is realizing throughout the day the things that I just was an hour late on. Oh, I did think they may have possibly announced Schoology texted smoke signaled that to me, but I think I was looking at the person as they gave the announcement with my eyes, but I think my mind was in eyes temporarily disconnected. So, ooh, I'm an hour. Ooh, the schedule kind of pushes you along. Sometimes you're on top of it. Other times, you're swept up in the current. You're just saying, I'm trying to keep my head above water. I'm trying to make it to shore and survive this thing. So it's kind of nice to have some of those days where there's just nothing scheduled. But no matter if it's a day where I got all this to do or if it's one of those open days, whatever day it is, just start it right. Just always start it right. No matter what else is going on, start the day right. So you get up whenever that is, 2 p.m. Just tell the family, hey, I'm having a late breakfast lunch today. Breakfast lunch. You eat less, right? If you sleep for 16 hours, you eat less. It's a weight loss plan, Mom. They're telling me all Fairhaven, lose weight, all this stuff. Like, that's a better way to do it. Sleep for 16. Can't sleep and eat at the same time. Well, some of us could. You generally can't sleep and eat at the same time. So if it's 2 p.m., get up, turn around, make your bed, walk into the bathroom, brush your teeth, whatever. I'm looking. Ah, yes. Hook up the McGovern IV coffee ID from the recently installed coffee tower just outside Bethany McGovern's house. It's easier to make an entire water tower full of coffee than it is to make 28,000 pots per day. Hook that IV right in there. Just run the tube through the window. Then open your Bible and saturate your mind with God's word. Saturate your mind with God's word. Don't give God just a little bit. Saturate your mind. Let God's word cleanse you. Let God's word fill you. Saturate your mind. So no matter what the day is, just start it right. You'll never regret it. You'll really hate the days where, yeah, it was kind of a fun day. There was no schedule, but the day ends and you know, you know what? I didn't have my time with God. You'll regret that. So whatever day it is, get up, make your bed, brush your teeth, drink the coffee, and then saturate your mind with God's word. Number four, when you get to church or at home, don't say this, "Nothing needs done, does it?" And then make a quick exit. Rather, see it, start it, and dare them to tell you that it doesn't need to be done. Make them stop you. Stevie Nutter, his dad, Steve Nutter, son, Stevie Nutter. You can see how that worked. Stevie Nutter, blonde hair, thick Coke bottle glasses, 5 years younger than me. I get back, come back in as this college kid. We go behind the, we're behind the gym one day, and there's tons of weeds growing up. And I look and say, "Whoa." You know what I'm going to say? "Somebody needs to trim those weeds down." Seventh grade, Stevie Nutter looked up and said, "How about you?" I wanted to use my "I'm a college kid" card. I wanted to use my "I'm older than you." I wanted to use my "four eyes." I mean, anything I could on this kid. The problem was I couldn't say anything because as much as it irritated me, what do you know about what he said? "He's right. He's right." I wanted to say, "Well, what about you?" To which he would have said, "You're the one that brought it up." He was right. So just see something, do it. Number five, your first time at home, when you get home for the first time, hug your mom and dad, and then say, "Hey, mom, dad, any projects around the house we're wanting to get done this summer? Because I'm here, and I know that I'm young, and I'm going to be an active, helpful part of this house. What do we need to get done?" You've heard of Booker T. Washington, and you know that he was raised a slave. They were freed. He went to school in Virginia, learned to work. He then went and in time started Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, and that institute was known for building every building that they used by the labor of the students and making the kilns that would make the bricks that would build the buildings. They did all that themselves too. And so he taught these mostly former slaves work ethic. And one of the students had graduated, and Booker T. went to visit him. And before he got there, Booker T. looked at this guy's house, and it was immaculate. And the dad came out and said, I want to ask you what you did with my son. He got home from college, and he painted this house like three times till it was just perfectly done. And Booker T. Washington said to himself, we've accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. We've put a work ethic with initiative into this guy. He is going to be a success in his life. So find something that needs to be done and volunteer at your home. Number six, your first church service. You get home, you go to your first church service. Don't be the college kid that's waiting for everybody to come up to him or her and welcome them home. You go find the people and you greet them. Then the second thing you do is you take your pen and you walk to that famous area in the back of the auditorium foyer, where there's five or six sign-up sheets. Because there needs to be a couple guys every week to cut the grass. There needs to be some people to help in Vacation Bible School. There needs to be people to make the cookies for Vacation Bible School. We need volunteers for this or that. Take your pen and go fill in every single sheet back there. And what does that do? That's saying, I'm here, I'm learning, I'm here to be a servant. I'm here to take what I've learned, and I'm going to apply it. I'm not here to be served. I'm not here to be greeted. I'm here to greet. I'm here to take initiative. Don't say, well, I wonder if they want my help, because I'm just a college kid. I'm only here for the summer. No, trust me. If it's a church, they don't even want your help. They need your help, and you should be first one back there. Also, you're going to be busy at this first service. See your pastor. Say something like this. I'm here, and I'm here to jump in. Where am I needed? What can I do? First thing he's going to say is, resuscitate me because I have just fallen over and fainted, because I can't believe anybody's ever said that to me before. Then after you work your little magic there, I think it's like 4 or 5 chest compressions, and when you realize, you know, that doesn't really work after all, you just smack him, pick him back up, dust him off, and then he'll give you your list. I was told to do that 28 years ago. I was dumb enough to try it. So I went back, first church. Hey, Pastor Canary, I'm home. I'm ready to go. What do you got for me to do? He goes, you can take the Belpre bus route. I'm like, I've just been a bus worker. I've only been a bus worker. He says, well, they had 4 on Sunday. I think you'll be okay. I said, 4? When I had 26 walking around the zoo my first week at Fairhaven, I didn't even know anybody or nothing, or there was a cultural difference too. And I had 26 and for the zoo in Chicago. I can handle 4 on a bus in Belpre. I said, what are we going to do? 4. I said, well, first thing is, let's see if we can have more than 4. So I went deep for the bus promotion. I mean, it was heavy duty. I went and bought 2 12 packs of Sunkist, and I bought a bag of ice and got a cooler, put the Sunkist in there, and said, kids, ice cold Sunkist tomorrow for bus. We had 22. It was a great day. It was exciting. You know, I guess go back and you just sort of be a pew warmer, you miss out. It was great. That was a great summer. It was a blessing to go there and say, what can I do? I said, hey, jump in and do this. We had a great time. And then that also let me get another guy, that teen guy, to be a bus partner with. And we had a great time. And we got to go visit Delbert as well. Worked together good. Okay, you're not done at church. You got another guy to see, your youth leader. You know that guy that put up with you and your stanky feet on all those camp trips? You owe him, and you owe his wife more than you can possibly imagine. So, I'm here. I'm ready to jump in. What can I do? Ladies, your pastor's wife. Pastor's wife is often the most forgotten person in the church because everything kind of just goes through the pastor. But, you know, a pastor's wife has a lot of responsibility on her. She is the key behind-the-scenes person on a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff falls to her. And so, ladies, you go to your pastor's wife and say, hey, thanks for all you've done for me. I know you've got a lot of things. There's a lot of stuff going on. What can I help you out with? And it would be a huge, huge help. To her, don't overlook your pastor's wife, and you really should go out of your way to express your gratefulness to her. If you sang in college, you're still here. College, the choir director's next. If you sang in college choir or can remotely sing, see the choir director. Unless your church has like super high standards for choir entrance, like our college choir did. Mr. Mitchell put them through the ringer for that tryout, didn't you? Man, I was like weeding them out. You're like, you are inept. Go ahead and you can join. but you can fill that spot pretty good. All right, you're in. So just go. You see your college choir director, and you say, I'm here, and I am ready to sing. Dr. Mitchell, turn me into Pavarotti's voice. And the kitchen turned me into Pavarotti's physique. You got any room for me? Like, well, you probably need to take a few laps, and we'll see if we can fit you. Luckily, they don't wear choir robes anymore, right? Man, they made this thing shrunk. We put it in the dryer. That's our famous excuse, right? My jeans are always shrinking. I'm like, you know, we gotta stop putting these jeans in the dryer. They're shrinking. My wife's like, the dryer's fault. I think it ain't the jeans that are shrinking. I think it's something else. I said, moving right along. See your choir director and say, can I jump in? Do you mind? He'll be honest with you. Number 7. There's your first church service. You got a lot of people to see. Get there early, leave late. Number 7, write out a reading plan for the summer. Write out a reading plan. something that's actually not assigned. You don't have to do this like in a course requirement either. Like, all right, text required, suggested, provided. No, just actually you can grab a book and read it. But a reading plan. Set some goals for that. And what do you want to read? What's some good areas? Maybe you could read a couple books a month, maybe more. Just depends on what you got going on. But don't neglect reading. Readers are leaders, and they have developed in their life a habit of reading. That's across the board. Somebody that's a leader is going to be a reader. And so use the summer to develop that habit. You want to be a leader. You want to be wise beyond your own realm of experience. Then you read. Okay, we can't live through everything, but we can read about it. And that gives us an experience and a knowledge, gives us warnings, gives us encouragements. So set a plan for your reading. Do that early on in the summer. Number eight, listen to sermons while working and driving. And one summer I was painting our house. And it was great because I could bring my cassette tape player out there and put a extension cord through the wall and put that tape in, click it in, press play. And I remember having a great time listening to the preaching conference sermons from the last couple years that summer while I was painting instead of boring myself sick there doing that job. And it was great. And it reminded me of the sermons that I had gone down front and responded to. And it was a big help driving. Use that time driving to listen to sermons. Number nine, remember that a year or two of college doesn't mean we've arrived. Stay humble. A year or two of college doesn't mean we've arrived. Stay humble. I had good friends, very good friends. Went off to two different Bible colleges a year before me. And I remember how disappointed I was when one came back home. And, you know, we were together on Saturday bus and we were together on Thursday night visitation. And together on midweek service on Wednesday, we wore our suit coats and ties because the teen guys took up the offering on Wednesday nights. So he got back and he put together a group of men to sing in church. He was good at that. That was his goal for the summer, was to put together a men's group and have them practice. And then it was good singing. It was nice. But Wednesday night church, he came in a polo and boat shoes. Do we even know what boat shoes are anymore? Are they back in style? Like, is it like the cycle happening again? It's just like, okay, but boat shoes. But he wore that in a polo, and everybody took the offering up again. And I'm looking for him on Thursday night, and he wasn't there, and wasn't there on Saturday morning. But he led this men's group. But man, it was like, I don't know. That was the ministry. It's like he arrived or something. And it was, frankly, for me, it was a poor testimony. And his brother, same thing. Again, nice guys, you know. But I think they got into bad habits when they were at the schools they were at. And then they come back, sort of looks like, you know, hey, they've arrived, or they don't need to get down in the, get their hands dirty and roll their sleeves up anymore. Well, that's a wasted Bible college year to me. If you come back and you're kind of arrogant and you're not willing to get down in there and do the stuff that everybody else is doing, what a shame. So none of us have arrived. So stay humble and jump in to these things. Number 10, cap your screen time, whatever screen that is, that's your phone or your TV, and be specific about it. Whatever it is, put some parameter there and then let that discipline you. Summer before college, the Lord said to me, hey, no TV that summer. And it was good because that summer, very close grandfather of mine passed away and got to spend several weeks with my grandmother after he passed away. There in Finksburg, off 140. And, you know, I'm glad I said that because it was just me and my grandmother, and she was 80 at the time, and she would have not cared if I sat around the house all day watching TV. But I had made that promise, and so instead, I really grew super close to her. And I just love her and loved her. She lived to 103. She just died about 4 years ago. And so every year, somehow, I'd get out there, and we go. I'd pick her up. We'd go out, get crab cakes. Sorry, I'm looking at Jacob. It's just a Maryland thing there. And we'd go get crab cakes. But it was just real close with her. And I'd call her almost every Saturday morning. After 20 years after my grandfather died, on the way out to bus, I'd call her, quick call. I knew she had a little assisted living, room 107. She'd talk about things she'd read in the Bible that day. She always wanted to talk about the rapture, the church she went to there in the place. I had a Presbyterian guy coming in, and he wasn't teaching the rapture. And so she'd open up to 1 Thessalonians 4, and she goes, do you believe this? It teaches the rapture? I said, I absolutely do. She goes, well, I do too. And we'd have a little theological discussion. But I think sometimes if I'd have just, you know, if it had been a TV summer, I'd have missed that. I'd have missed out on that. So whatever it is, ask the Lord to give you some guidelines and then stick with them and challenge yourself to stick with those. You won't regret that. A couple more things. Apply some lasting Bible principles to your social media usage. You know, in college, it's a set of rules by necessity. That exact set of rules is a temporary thing in your life. What you can't afford to have is the principles, the guidelines behind those rules. So ask the Lord to give you some real specific Bible principles that you're going to apply to how you use and what you post and how you respond to your social media, and then begin to live those on your own. A couple last things. Take some time soon after the summer begins to write out some things. Write out some things that God has taught you this year. If we've been alive, we've learned something. Some things we've learned for good. Some things we've learned the hard way, but it's fine. Whatever it is, we've learned it, and write those things down. And the second thing I encourage you to write down is whatever promises and commitments through the course of the year you made to God, write those out and review them. Review those. Don't let those slip. You made a promise, you made a commitment, you made a decision. Okay? Write that down and review it. Remind yourself regularly of that. And then lastly, today, ask God for the spiritual vision to be able to appreciate the faithfulness of the church members in your church. See them in a new light, be grateful to them, and show it. Now, these are the people that have been in the church many more years than we have, and they've been faithful. Many of them have made decisions in life that's cost them friends. Many of them have given sacrificially, so there could be a church so that you and I could have a place to come and to learn and to be encouraged to come to Bible college. They were there before you got there. They're going to be there after you leave. See them in a new light and be appreciative and thankful to them for that. We were at a church about 2 weeks ago with the ensemble that's nearby the church I grew up at, and several people were there that I knew growing up, and after the service I got a big hug from Art Yost. And Art Yost was a guy that when we first went to First Baptist in Belpre, Freedom Christian School, he and his wife had two kids a little older than me, but he'd be at church till 11, midnight, 1, 2, 3 in the morning in those early days when they were building it, and it was manual labor, and it was no money to pay people. He was there for those long hours, and he saw me, got tears in his eyes, and he says, you know, I often wondered what would come of, you know, the time, the sacrifice that we put into that church. He said, sometimes I wondered, did anything come of it? And so we're going back 40 years now. And, man, it's a sweet time of fellowship with him and his wife. And then Carol Nepshield, who played the piano at that church. She played at our church growing up. And great testimony, 5 kids all serving the Lord, son pastor down in Mississippi. Tearing up when she's talking about what God did through the Christian school. And she's been faithful for all these years. And I've got other names here, many others. That's just my people, but every one of you, if you come from a church, there's people that have been very faithful for very many years. Okay, don't take them for granted. Take some time, work your way, make a list, work your way through them and talk with them individually. Write them a note, thank them, spend a little time with them, have them over, take them out to eat, Express your thankfulness for those that have been faithful for all those years. You do some of those things. It doesn't guarantee a good summer, but it's a good start. That can be, I think, a help to us as we want to make our summer count. Thank you, Lord, for this school year. Lord, it's a very practical lesson, but some things that I think could make a big difference this summer we shared today. And as we started, we're all going to look back on this summer. We're going to look back on opportunities that were done or opportunities that were missed. Lord, we certainly want to look back with guilt and shame because of we've snuck around and sinned. Lord, I pray you'd help each student here to make some real personal decisions about what their summer is going to be. And at the end of it, be able to give it to you as an offering. Lord, that it might be an acceptable offering. Be with all the events of this week. I pray, Lord, you'd be honored and glorified through all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've got